This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, November 18th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. The video game company Roblox is very popular with players under 13, but it wants to expand its user base to older players. To do that, the company is investing $10 million to help develop educational games for middle school, high school, and college students. In the process, it may also get a leg up in its ambitions for the metaverse. On today's show, our reporter Sarah Needleman, who covers the video gaming industry, breaks down Roblox's plans and what it could mean for the company and for students. That's after these headlines. President Biden's proposal for an electric vehicle tax credit includes a provision to help protect union jobs. Under the plan, EV buyers would get a $12,500 tax write-off if they purchase an electric vehicle assembled by union workers using American-built batteries. EVs from non-union factories would qualify for a smaller credit. The plan has set off a fierce lobbying battle. Companies like Tesla and Toyota, which operate non-union shops, oppose the plan, as do representatives from the states where those car makers have factories. Here's our congressional reporter, Siobhan Hughes, with more.
At one level, it is a fight about the environment and workers, because in order to achieve net zero emissions, it would make sense to spur the wholesale purchase of electric vehicles instead of just a certain kind of electric vehicle. On the other hand, though, it's very much a fight between companies and between states over who is going to emerge as the big winner of this big stimulus package. States want the electric vehicle jobs in their own homes, and the car companies, not surprisingly, want to sell more cars. They want their consumers to get the most generous incentives.
To hear more from Siobhan, check out this morning's episode of our sister podcast, What's News? We've talked on this show before about how difficult it can be to repair gadgets like laptops and smartphones, and about various efforts to address those so-called right-to-repair issues. Now Apple, which is known for having a particularly restrictive process for repairs, says it's created a self-service repair program to allow customers to fix their own devices using genuine Apple parts and tools. The company says it'll begin with some of the most common problem parts and add more repair options later next year. Amazon says it'll stop accepting UK-issued Visa credit cards early next year because of their high fees, marking a major escalation in Amazon's years-long battle with Visa. When shoppers use credit cards, the merchants pay an interchange fee to the banks that issued it. A spokesman for Amazon said those fees mean higher prices for shoppers. Visa says it's disappointed in Amazon's decision and it's working to resolve the situation before the January deadline. And the Staples Center in Los Angeles, home to the LA Lakers, is getting a new name, the Crypto.com Arena. So what's the arena's new namesake all about? Our reporter Anna Hertenstein explains.
So Crypto.com is a cryptocurrency exchange. They were founded in 2016 and they're based in Singapore. And they offer stuff like cryptocurrency trading. They give their users leverage so they can invest more capital into digital currencies. And they also allow them to trade things like NFTs and other digital assets. And this is an example of how cryptocurrency is trying to move into the mainstream. They're trying to get more recognition by mainstream society and move away from being this kind of under the radar part of finance.
We report Crypto.com will pay $700 million over 20 years for the naming rights, which go into effect on December 25th. Okay, coming up, what if you could learn about an active volcano by walking around one? Virtually, of course. Roblox is taking steps to make that kind of lesson possible. We'll have the details after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Roblox is a little different from other video game companies. The free online platform allows users to make their own games and play games created by others. It's hosted concerts and other events, and that's led to millions of games being available on its platform. But very few of them are educational. Roblox wants to change that. The company is investing millions of dollars to help develop a series of games to teach students about STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. Joining us to discuss why Roblox is focusing on education and what it hopes to get out of it is our reporter, Sarah Needleman. So, Sarah, Roblox is putting $10 million into developing educational games. Why does it want to get into creating these kinds of games in the first place?
Well, Roblox already appeals to many preteens and teens, and so this would potentially be an opportunity for it to reach more users and grow. The company also is very bullish on this concept of the metaverse, which is this next evolution of the internet, where we'll be spending a lot of our time interacting socially and doing all sorts of things, including learning. And so Roblox is looking to make an early stake in the metaverse with educational opportunities on its platform.
What are the educational games that Roblox is planning on creating?
So one of the games that the company is funding will teach robotics. Another is going to focus on space exploration. And the third will help students explore careers and concepts in computer science, engineering, and biomedical science. So these all fit into that STEM realm. And they're being developed by nonprofits, including Boston's Museum of Science. And one was made in partnership with a small educational game studio. So Roblox isn't actually making the games, but it is funding them. And that's a first for the company.
Describe that to me a little bit. Education and this virtual world, how do the two of them meld?
Sure. Well, in the virtual world, we can do things that we can't do in the real world or not easily. So if you wanted to tour an active volcano, certainly we wouldn't do that in the real world. But you could tour a virtual replica in the metaverse. And you could also look at, for example, ancient Rome, just as it looked hundreds of years ago, and walk around the streets there through your avatar, which is how we would experience the metaverse. And so even think about today where schools in poor countries where maybe the students can't practice dissecting a frog, or maybe even just students don't want to dissect a real frog. And now you could do it in a virtual environment that's very realistic and three-dimensional.
So it's virtual learning, but it's still kind of hands-on learning. That's really interesting.
Sure. And another aspect of Roblox is that all the content on its platform is made by users. And so we've already seen some teachers using Roblox to teach computer programming and game development. And there are some games already on the platform that are considered educational, but these are being designed from the ground up for the purpose of learning, specifically in areas that relate to STEM learning.
Are there other companies that are trying to get into this gaming, educational, metaverse space as well?
Video games have been in classrooms for decades. I mean, if you remember in the early 1970s, we had the Oregon Trail. And then we've seen teachers use The Sims for collaboration. We've seen Angry Birds for teaching physics. And in 2016, Microsoft introduced an education edition of Minecraft. So more than 35 million students and teachers around the globe are using that. So we've already seen this happen. And as far as the metaverse goes, there's this belief that we'll be spending a lot of our time in the metaverse doing things, including learning. And so a number of companies are working on metaverse initiatives, not necessarily specific to education, but we know that Microsoft, NVIDIA, Unity, Epic Games, and many others are already starting to build hardware and software programs for the metaverse. And so we can expect to see ones that are focused on education besides Roblox. But for now, Roblox is one of the big names in the space, and it's really pushing forward, starting with this investment.
I mean, there have been some video games in classrooms, but you know, the World Health Organization in 2018 added video gaming disorder to its international classification of diseases. So we can anticipate some pushback about putting video games into classrooms. How might Roblox address this?
The difference here is that these games were designed for education purposes in mind. So they come baked in with, or they should come baked in with, safety features, privacy features. And they're not games that were made and then marketed to children. These were designed for educational purposes by people with expertise in the education space. And so as long as the games follow that mantra, the general consensus is that they're okay to use. Of course, we don't want children spending too much time in front of screens, and many of them already do use computer programs as part of their education. Of course, with these games, they're not meant to replace traditional education, but they can offer some opportunities to learn in ways that we can't easily do because we don't have the resources, or because, like I said earlier, just some things just aren't humanly possible, like walking around an active volcano. You can safely do that in the metaverse. I wouldn't try that in real life.
All right. Well, I won't walk around any active volcanoes then. That was our reporter, Sarah Needleman. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
My pleasure.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.